It's your little friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Okay, well, Daddy's alone here. Well, Daddy and Cyril are alone here.
Okay.
This week.
And is Cyril around? It's like, what, 6:30 there? He doesn't go to bed that early.
Well, this is what I was leading up to. Mommy and Beefcake went to go visit great-grandma Ruth.
Okay.
And so that when the cats are away, the dogs will play, as they say in the famous expression. And Daddy and Cyril
are the expression.
Having the time of our lives here. And I possibly inadvisedly, in order to record this podcast, just put on Cars 3, made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and told Cyril that he's in charge now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that'll end well.
I was like, are you ready to be in charge? He was like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay, all right, I'll see you in an hour.
You know what I call Sarah's grandma, Ruth?
What?
I call her Vermouth Ruth,
okay.
Because...
she likes a little martini.
She likes to party.
She likes a tipple.
You know what I mean?
Okay, she's 96.
Yeah, I know. What do you think's kept her kicking all these years?
I don't know.
It's all those Cosmos.
Yeah, well, she's going to meet her. It's the youngest and the oldest in the family.
Oh, okay.
A meeting of minds. Vermouth, Ruth, and Lewis are meeting for the first time. That's nice. But meanwhile, you guess what Daddy and Cyril are doing tomorrow? This is the type of shit that us boys get up to.
What are you doing?
When we get up to our mischief, we're running a race.
Together?
Yeah, he signed us up for a race.
5K?
1 mile.
1 mile.
He's very small and his legs are very small.
Has he been
small.
Training?
No.
Not at all?
No.
He's going to cramp up instantly. What'd you guys have for dinner tonight? Pasta?
Peanut butter and blueberry jelly.
There's no carbs in that at all. I mean, there's simple carbs. You need complex carbs.
That's what we're doing tomorrow. We're running a big race, but that's not what we're here for today, is it, Tanner?
No, we're here to
Sexy
talk about
time.
A film that made me so hot, so horny.
Yeah.
A real departure from some of the films we've been watching lately, which have been not hot, not horny.
Do you want to do a little bit of...
no spanking scenes, no
sexy red, role
sexy
play
red party rooms.
To get into it? It's 50 Shades of Grey we're talking
do
about.
It's 50 Shades of Grey. Do I want
to
do sexy
to
role play with
mode,
you? Yes, I do.
Mood. Yes, okay. Well, I told you before, I texted you before, I said bring a hanger from your closet. And you did.
Yeah, you did.
No questions asked. And that was great. I expected to have a conversation with you where you're like, what do you mean? And I was going to say, did I stutter? But I didn't have to do that.
Do you plan your conversations with me?
Yeah.
Sort of like mentally prepare yourself.
I'm a control freak. And so this is, you know, this is us kind of trying to do 50 Shades of Grey, I guess. Because it's like,
they
like
don't
toys.
Do anything with coat hangers.
No, but they get like toys and implements and stuff and they put it on themselves. And so that's what we're going to do. And
gear.
I saw this on TikTok today.
Oh, okay. You're on TikTok now.
And so we're going to do this.
I've got my hanger.
I've got my hanger too.
Okay.
And so I think we'll have to do it one at a time.
Okay.
Do you want?
Oh, you should go first to demonstrate it then.
Do you want to know what's supposed to happen first?
No.
Okay. Do you want me to do it?
I don't know.
First,
all I know is that you told me to bring a hanger down. Yeah.
It's sexy. It's a sexy role play. Yeah.
I don't want my approach to this challenge.
Yeah.
To be tainted in any way.
Okay. So
I want to come at this pure.
All right. Why don't I show you how to do it and then you do it?
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to show you now, and I guess you're going to have to narrate because I have to take my headphones off to do it.
Okay. Jack is taking off his headphones now. He's putting on, he's got the hanger, a wire hanger, and he's put it over his head like a little halo. He looks like a little halo. And now the little point in front of his head, I thought he was looking at it, but I think he's looking at anything but it. And now he's removed the hanger and the headphones are coming back on.
Okay, I can report that nothing happened for me.
Okay.
Okay, now I want you to try.
Now give me just the basic instructions. I put the hanger on my head, and then I couldn't tell what you were looking at.
Just see what happens.
Okay.
So Tanner is removing his headphones now for us. Take off your headphones. Put the hanger on your head. Put the hanger on your head. He's taking... Yeah, take your glasses off. Put the hanger on your head. now look at me. He's put the hanger on his head. He's looked at me. Nope, nothing. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that happened. Okay, you can take it off now. Take it off. Take it off. And put your head. He's put his headphones back on. So I couldn't tell whether the thing happened or not.
Okay.
The in all the TikTok videos, they're like, and this did happen to me when I tried it by myself, but I wasn't sure whether it was the influence of having watched the videos. Their head like inadvertently turns to the right.
Oh, mine turned to the right, but I think I was just sort of like,
I saw you doing it, so I don't know.
It wasn't inadvertent though. I was just kind of getting a feel for it on my head.
Yeah, but that's what happens. It's like they just like you feel like a pull, and it pulls your head.
Huh? Did I feel a pull, or did I think like, oh, I just want to like try this out? You know?
Yeah, I don't know because I saw you do it. Yeah. So this was like, if you haven't seen the movie, what you just witnessed was a very cool TikTok trend showing that Tanner and I kind of still have got it, basically.
Yeah, still relevant. And still culturally irrelevant. And I'm like a teen because my head, Jack plugged in. Didn't work on Jack because Jack's kind of got old man bones, but yeah. I'm still like very teen-like, so my head did kind of go to the right. Yeah.
And B, it's kind of, I think it's an approximation of what this movie is, don't you think? Because I was like,
sexy.
You were like, hey, what's up? What's our dynamic? And I was like, our dynamic is I tell you what to do with this thing. And you were like, okay, I guess. Why? And I was like, don't ask questions. And then
here's
I was
some
like,
gear.
But you don't have to, but I'm going to kind of tell you to do it. And then you put the gear on, and then like,
on my
something
body.
Happened for you, kind of, didn't it?
Yeah, it did something to me.
Yeah, and that's what the movie is.
It's kinky, sexy, fun. Yeah. Just like this little exercise that Jack and I just did.
Yeah.
And it is just like the movie.
It's just like the movie. We watched 50 Shades of Grey.
We watched 50 Shades of Grey. It was horny. It was wild. It was the horniest movie we've watched so far, I think. Is that true?
Was it the horniest movie we've watched so far? I thought that the movie where Superman goes back in time was kind of horny.
That was pretty horny. That was like romantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this was more like, yeah, show me, don't tell me, you know?
Yeah. Well, they didn't show a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, they did show quite a bit. They show both of the main characters fully nude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, almost fully nude. You don't see any ding dong, and believe me, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
You just want to get it out of the way now? Let's get it out of the way now.
Let's get it out of the way. Yeah.
It's girth check. Girth check. I wouldn't fucking know.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. It's a sex movie, and they didn't even show us.
There's so many times in this movie where they artfully like pan or cut away, like right as the camera's about to like hone in on Christian Grey's beef.
Bingus, yeah.
His big beef bingus.
But nothing. We never see it. We don't even know that it's there.
Don't even know it's there. Yeah, I don't even know. Don't even know what he's has down there.
I came into this movie much like Anastasia, a virgin.
Yeah,
I did not know. Yeah, Stacey McGill. I did not know what was going to happen in the film, except that it was kind of like, you know, there's this, you know, the thing that everyone knows about 50 Shades of Grey, that they do like kind of a kinky sex on each other.
Here's what I knew about the film. Yeah. I knew that he has a red room where he keeps his Xbox and stuff. And I know that he is based on a character in a film I recently watched called Twilight.
Yeah. Yes.
They're both meant to be based on Twilight characters, correct?
They did have a similar affect.
They do have a similar affect. Yeah, they're completely wildly different characters though. Although I see Edward and Bella as Christian Grey and Stacey Steele? Yes.
I don't know. I don't think that Edward is as domineering.
Yeah, yes I can, and it's making me so horny.
Yeah. Okay. Even well, you're not the first.
Stephanie Meyer was the first, apparently.
Yeah. Stephanie Meyer was the first. She was like, I should write this down.
We watched 50 Shades of Grey. It's a spanky movie. They do
a lot of finger
blasting.
Yeah.
I will tell you one thing they don't do.
Yeah.
At the 1 hour and 8 minute mark, they're doing contract negotiations.
Yeah.
Whole film is like, it's like a legal thriller. Like it's two people like negotiating a contract for an hour and a half and like sort of breaking the rules of the contract before it can be like closed.
The contract negotiation scene was really fun.
Yeah, the contract negotiation scene's the best part. It's got the only joke in the whole movie. Yeah. At the 1 hour and 8 minute mark, she turns his attention to Appendix 3, Soft Limits. And she says,
Turn to page 5, Appendix 3, Soft Limits.
And he's like,
with you.
And she says,
find anal fisting.
And he says,
I'm all ears.
And she says,
strike it out.
Cross it out. Yeah.
Yeah. He like looks up at her like, are you sure?
Yeah. He looks disappointed whenever she strikes something out from the contract. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the best scene in the whole film.
Yeah. That's the best joke.
The contract. Hey, Jack, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Was it Charlotte Bronte or Jane Austen or Tom Hardy that made you fall in love with literature?
I captured this as well.
It's a good pickup line, huh?
My thought was no, that it's not a good pickup line. I think that's why I captured it.
Well, you and I just had completely different reactions to this entire film.
I couldn't tell what it was trying to do in the movie. I couldn't tell whether it was trying to be like a stand-in for like showing that he's literary or whether it's him like kind of belittling her because it's
I think
like,
it's that.
It's pretty presumptuous to be like, which of these three like basic ass...
Yeah, he's saying Anastasia Steele, Stacey, is a student. She's a student in this film. She's graduating
Anastasia
from
Steele,
college.
And we should say that his name is Alan Gray.
Yeah, his name is Alan Gray. And she is graduating from college with an English literature degree, and she has to go interview Christian Gray, Alan Gray.
On behalf of her roommate.
On behalf of her
sick.
Roommate who has the flu, so he's like, oh, you're a journalism major? And she's
a billionaire.
I'm an English. He's a billionaire, yes. Yeah. She's like, I'm an English literature major. And then I think he says, in a way to sort of like let her know that he has already completely cracked her.
Yeah.
And that she's a basic B.
He's like,
tell me, was it Charlotte Bronte, Jane Austen, or Thomas Hardy who first made you fall in love with literature?
Yeah. Who was it for you, though? Jane Austen.
Probably Jane Austen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of those three.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of all of them. Honestly, they're all great. And she says Thomas Hardy, and he's like, oh, I would have thought you would have been a Jane Austen.
Jane
person.
Austen, right. You said of those three.
Yeah.
If you had your pick of anyone, who would it be?
I mean, my guiding light is T.S. Eliot, probably.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's Ayn Rand. That's right. Yeah. Ayn Rand. It's hard to pick which one of hers, you know?
Yeah.
The one that's about like being... it's a good idea on the face of it to be really selfish and shitty, and that's like supposed to be profound. That's the one I really like.
Capitalism is everything.
Yeah, but he later sends her like he sends her a gift with like a quote from Tessa the D'Urbervilles, and it's like I think it's for which is Thomas Hardy, and I think it's like I don't think it's a famous quote. I think it's a random quote.
I didn't recognize it, and it also seemed very odd out of context. Like, it just sort of seemed like a half statement, and even her roommate's like, what's that? And she's like, oh, it's a quote from...
Yeah, it's at the 20-minute mark.
Thomas
the quote
Hardy.
Is...
Why didn't you tell me there was danger? Why didn't you warn me? Ladies know what to guard against, because they read novels that tell them of these tricks.
That's a quote from Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
Right, so it's a really weird quote. It's also like... Literally no fucking way someone would recognize that quote, like, unless they were, like, literally a Hardy scholar.
Right.
And it's also, like, the plot of Tess of the D'Urberville is pretty fucked up. It's, like, I think this quote, I don't know out of context, but I think this quote is Tess complaining possibly to a parent or some kind of a mentor about not being informed about, like, what happens when...
SEX,
but also like
courtship
with a fucking asshole who's going to completely horribly screw her over for the rest of her life and destroy her life, and she will die.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
Well, and maybe spoilers for the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know if that's
we don't know. Yeah. But it's a pretty
Do you think this is him
say.
By sending this quote?
Yeah.
Do you think it's him saying like forget what I me trying to pin you down with Charlotte Bronte and Jane Austen and Thomas Hardy was me like saying I have you figured out, but this is me saying, like, I don't have you figured out. You're actually on my side. You're one of my kind of people.
You're one of my kind of people. I don't know what it is. It's a weird one. I don't know. I don't get this movie.
Such a bizarre quote.
I don't get these people. I don't get either of them. They're not people. I wouldn't be friends with either of these people under any circumstances.
No.
I'd be friends with her roommate for sure.
I would be friends with his brother.
I'd be friends with his brother and her roommate who do date in the movie. I would hang out with them and they're both cool. Be like, man, your roommate and your boyfriend's brother are both like really fucking weird, and I don't want to be near them.
Can we just hang out at my place?
Yeah. Play with my Xbox and stuff.
She leaves the meeting.
Yeah.
The interview.
Yeah.
Having gotten none of the answers to any of the questions that her roommate sent along.
Yeah.
And she walks outside and comes.
Excuse me?
She does a big orgasm on the street, or she does something that resembles...
She does a Natasha Bedingfield, where she feels the rain on her skin.
And then I think has an orgasm.
And seems to be excited.
So I want to introduce a new segment. It's called Meeting Stories. And Jack, what meeting have you been to that's such a good meeting that it made you have an orgasm?
Figuratively?
If it has to be figuratively...
Yeah.
If it's figuratively or you don't have a story, I guess figuratively. But I would prefer if you actually did like
what's a really good meeting that was so good? I don't particularly like meetings. Like the first thing that popped into my head, but it's weird, like your framing makes it weird. Like I in my previous job at New York Review of Books.com/InfoWars, I was in charge of the hard-hitting animal investigations desk is what I'm calling it.
Yep.
And as a result of that, I would often have to do meetings with big important cats like Lil Bub, Grumpy Cat, Maru. I interviewed over email. I had to get a Japanese translator.
Yeah.
Those meetings were like very satisfying. And if I had walked outside after those meetings and the rain had hit my face, I might have looked up and like had an expression of deep satisfaction. But you're framing
so like, much so that like if I were walking down the street, like,
you might be like, oh,
me or
that
you,
guy.
I'd be like, is that guy busting?
Yeah, but but it was just like a very happy, happy time for me.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah.
Great. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you have? What's your one, please?
I don't think I have one.
Oh, okay, perfect. So this was just to put me on the spot type of situation.
Yeah, I've never walked out of a meeting and busted.
Yeah, me neither, man.
What about this meeting with Maru? That's what you just said.
I
said
you
meet with these celebrity pets and it makes you, gratifies you.
It doesn't.
Can I do my euphemism of the week?
Yeah. Can I just tell you a little bit more about Maru? It was
really
sweet. Maru is a famous cat who jumps in and out of boxes. Probably for you young ones, your youth. He's like an,
it's like a TikTok.
Old fuddy duddy. Yeah. Imagine if like it's a TikTok of a cat that jumps out of boxes, but like not TikTok. It's like from 2010.
It was just gifs.
But like he famously didn't grant any interviews. He wouldn't grant interviews. And like part of it is that like
what is he hiding?
People would always
what skeletons are in his closet?
Yeah, who knows? People would always email his person and be like, tell me about your cat. And she was like a very private person. But I emailed her and I like found a Japanese translator and I emailed her in Japanese and I was like, hey, I don't care about you or your life. I just want to speak to your cat.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And so I asked him some like hard hitting questions. And one of them was, I wanted to try to like create internet beef.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, who's your favorite of the viral cat stars? And he said Garfield. And I thought it was the cutest thing in the entire world.
that's like some cute, fun, like cultural differences, you know?
Yeah.
He just wanted to give you an answer that would like impress you. And he's like, what's an American cat?
Anyway, that's too much about Maru. What were you going to say? You're going to do Euphemism of the Week. I'd
the
love
Euphemism
to
of the Week is my new segment.
I can't believe they did a euphemism at all in this movie, which is literally has a whole scene that, as we've described, is about anal fisting.
Yeah. Well, and like later in that scene, she says she also strikes off vaginal fisting, which he's like, he literally rolls his eyes at her.
He's like, this guy sucks, man. What an ass.
He's the worst.
I mean, we don't need to get into that because it's like, I'm sure it's the most of the discourse with anyone who's watched this movie is like, what an ass. Like, he seems like an asshole. Like,
he's a huge prick. She also then says, she strikes off genital clamps.
Yeah, I would too.
And then a moment later says,
What are butt plugs?
Oh, yeah.
And all I could think was, like, how do you know what genital clamps are but not butt plugs? I don't know what a genital clamp is. I think I can figure it out.
Yeah. I mean,
I think I've got a loose understanding.
I could tell you what both of those things are from context clues.
You could just, as long as you speak competent English, you can probably figure out what both of those things are.
Without going into too much detail, I would guess if I had to, if I was like on the stand, that one of them is a plug for your butt and the other is a clamp for your genital. That's my guess. Yeah. That's.
I just feel like butt plugs, you know, those things are everywhere.
Yeah. Are they?
You find those things like in the gutter when you're walking to the park, you know?
But... Not in Texas, man. Maybe
here in Connecticut.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Maybe in Connecticut. What's our euphemism of the week?
She's doing the interview. She asks like three questions, and the first is boring, and he's like, that's a boring question. What's your next question? The next one is, are you
She's
gay?
She's so nervous.
She's very nervous.
Yeah, then she says,
are you gay?
It's kind of a through line in the film. People are like, he might be gay.
So I don't think it's emphasized enough in this movie. It is a little bit in the sense that he has a private jet and shit, but he's a billionaire.
Yeah, he's vastly wealthy. He sits at the top of a building that has his own name on it, a skyscraper.
Yeah.
And she says...
Do you have any interests outside of work?
And he says, in a very loaded way...
I enjoy various physical pursuits.
Okay, and what does he mean by that? Butt plugs.
But, like, I can name four things immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Please don't anymore, because we've said it enough.
That's pretty good, right? That's a good euphemism.
I enjoy various physical pursuits. That is literally true of me. Cyril was like, what do you like? And I was like, I like running. I like riding my bike. I like going on hikes. And I was like, oh, Jesus, man. I'm like Calvin's dad from Calvin and Hobbes. That's
except
it.
Those are
the
things
that came to my mind. Yeah, I like various physical pursuits, but in the boring way of that and like no clamps involved.
Can I tell you something about my son? Since we're doing dad talk right now?
Yeah, I guess so.
We got a call today at like 4, and his teacher was like, we usually pick him up at 5:30 every day. And she called us and said, Miles is literally the only kid in this school, not just in our classroom. Everyone has left for the day except Miles.
Why did she call you?
Because she told us to come get him.
Leave me alone.
So I got him in my car and I went to get him, and it was 4:30 and we had some time to kill. So we went to Smoothie King and got some smoothies.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, we stopped at the Tabletop Gaming Center.
Oh, fun.
To look at tabletop gaming stuff.
Yeah.
And for some reason, a couple weeks ago, he really decided that he is both into and a owlbear from Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay. He's into owlbears and is an owlbear.
And is an owlbear.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a bear with the head of an owl.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
So we were walking around the game store just killing some time, and what does he find? An owlbear figure.
Fucking owlbear. Cool.
Miniature. Unpainted.
Wow. Daddy, can I have...
So then he walked over to the D&D, into the Citadel paint section, and he started picking out some paints.
Yeah.
We got home. We painted him an owlbear. Came out great.
Are you worried that you're raising a nerd?
I'm confident I'm raising a nerd.
Yeah.
And I'm fully intending to raise a nerd.
But meanwhile, Cyril and I are like going on races and
you guys
shit.
Are like
I'm raising
racing.
A jock. I'm raising a literal jock.
We went to the game store. To look at miniatures, and you guys ran a race, running a race.
So did he paint the owlbear?
He did. It looks great. He painted it neon green.
That's awesome.
Maybe we'll incorporate it into one of our campaigns.
Wow. This is
that's dad talk.
Yep. This has been dad talk. I'll say briefly, just on the question of Christian Grey being a billionaire.
Yeah.
It's a thing that, like, I don't want to impugn Anastasia McGill here at all. Like, she seems, I think she's supposed to read as smart. Like, she's literary.
She's bookish.
She's bookish. She's intelligent. She's emotionally intelligent. But there's a through line of the movie that I found particularly annoying that is related to this question of Christian
Hart, right? Yeah. I have almost done that every time I say his name.
Christian Grey. That's weird. Being a billionaire, which is that... like, he keeps sending her gifts. Like, initially, he sends her some, like, really rare first editions of, like, Thomas Hardy books
Right.
And she, like, she rejects those, and kind of understandably, she, like, she gets drunk, and she calls him up, and she's like, oh, I...
That was the other one funny joke.
Yeah.
She said,
Sending back your expensive books because I already have copies of those. Thanks, though, for the kind gesture.
Yeah, it's funny. That was funny. I laughed at that. And it was cool and it was empowering and it was important to the movie. But then, like, he keeps giving her gifts and then, like, he gives her, like, a MacBook and she's like, okay, whoa.
So that he can email her.
Yeah, so he can email her. And it's also, like, part of his, like, weird controllingness, which is not that fun.
He steals and sells her car and buys her a new one.
But so this is the thing with the car. At the, it's the 1 hour, 18 minute mark. He's like,
come on, I have something to show you.
And there's, like, a red car. It's not a sports car, but it's, like, obviously, no, like, a really nice car.
Family sedan.
Yeah. And she's like,
that's cute. Doesn't really seem like your style, though.
Because he only drives stupid sports cars. What an asshole. Would not want to be friends with this guy.
No.
Would be annoyed if a friend of mine became friends with him and I had to see him even occasionally. Yep. What an asshole. Absolutely no respect or interest.
You could get on his good side and have him buy you things.
Yeah.
Is that appealing at all?
So anyway, whatever. She like walks out and she's like, this isn't your style. And he says,
it's not. Happy graduation, Anastasia.
She goes, oh my God, Christian, that's a car.
Oh my God, Christian, that's a car.
Yeah.
And she's like aghast, like absolutely fucking aghast. And it's like, I understand under certain, like if he were a, this is kind of going to get weird because it's going to get mathy, but like.
Okay, perfect.
If he were a millionaire, I would understand that it would be weird. If like your new boyfriend bought you a car, you'd be like, oh man, I know you're rich, but this is like weird that like this is too much.
Yeah.
When you're a billionaire,
that's
like
nothing.
A car is like buying someone a fucking latte. Like
it's disposable
not...
to them.
And like if you know anything,
they'll like buy a car and drive it somewhere and just leave it there.
Like you don't have to be like super numerate to understand this. Like the amount of money that a car is literally less than nothing to him. It's meaningless to him. So it's like not like, like you just be like, cool, of course my billionaire boyfriend bought me a car. Like it's like he like paying for dinner. Like I just don't understand why she can't get it.
Did you watch the movie?
Yeah, I watched the movie. Yeah.
The whole movie is about her walls coming down.
Yeah.
It's about her giving up control. It's about her not resisting him anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
This is the first
it's the first step.
It's the first
step. That's how they get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we will talk about some fun reviews that I found of this film.
Okay, great. And I also have, I need to make a call to the two, well, there's, I actually need to call four different dudes. Actually, oh, I need to call six different dudes.
That's a lot of dudes. And I need to tell you about some of the hot moves that I picked up from this film.
Okay.
So we've got a big agenda. We'll be back.
All right, see you in a moment.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which
sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ring, 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 ring.
Oh, that's, sorry, my phone's ringing. I know we just got back to recording. Do you mind if I take this?
Should I hit pause?
No, it's okay. You can just hang out. I'll just take
it. I'll hang out. Okay.
Hello, this is regular Jack speaking.
Hey, Jack.
Hey.
I was hoping to... Is Horny Jack there?
Yeah, I've said this
I was
before,
hoping
but...
to speak with Horny okay. Jack. This is Horny. Can you tell him Horny Tanner's calling?
I was just going to say Horny Jack is always here.
Oh, okay.
You know? Like,
that's my secret. Yeah.
Like Hulk? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I'm always horny.
Horny Jack, Horny Tanner's on the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Horny Jack.
Hey, Horny Jack, it's me, Horny Tanner. We're the two prude branding consultants.
Yes, we certainly are, yeah.
I wanted to... We've got a client, billionaire. Yeah. He sent me an RFP here.
Okay.
And he wants to get a proposal from us on... sort of coming up with a new series of terms for him.
Okay, perfect. That's what we do best.
He is he's sort of a celebrated lovemaker, and he does it in a way that is borderline dangerous.
Okay, yeah.
And like because
in a
of
race
that,
car.
I bet that's in the contract somewhere.
Okay.
He's like, we have to do sex in every way that Tom Cruise has done stunts for Mission Impossible movies.
That is dangerous. Yeah, that's very dangerous. Yeah, hanging onto the side of a plane.
Yeah, hanging from a rope on the on a helicopter.
Yeah.
He said that he was speaking with his latest submissive, he called her.
Okay, that's fine.
And he's a dom.
Okay, perfect.
He lived a whole life as a submissive for a long time. In fact, he was sort of groomed from a young age by a friend of his mother's.
And he got Mrs. Robinson.
And he got Mrs. Robinson, as they say in the movie. We're not trying to make light of grooming.
perfect.
He was a submissive for a long time, and he enjoyed that life for a long time. But he wants to... He's taken a spin behind the wheel of the old Dom tractor, harvesting his bountiful crop of tender spankable butts. And he what we say to Miles when he's trying a new food that he doesn't like is we say, you haven't learned to like it yet. And it's he's into stuff that I haven't learned how to like yet.
Yeah, I haven't learned how to like it yet. I haven't even learned how to like watching it.
I just learned about it.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, and this is Horny Jack talking.
Yeah,
wait until you hear from Jack. You know what Jack did? Literally, during some of these scenes?
Yeah.
I can say this because he wouldn't want this to be on the podcast, but when it got like too horny and tying each other up in the show
he pleasured himself.
Found a really long article on Bloomberg about this guy who like stole a bunch of money from a Bitcoin millionaire.
You are like Calvin's dad.
And he read that. Anyway, carry
he
on.
He likes to do the kind of intercourse with the women that he is with where they need to have safe words.
Yes.
And he told me his safe words.
Yes.
At the 1 hour and 1 minute mark.
Yeah.
This is part of the contract negotiation.
Yeah.
He said,
the safe word yellow will be used to bring to the attention of the dominant that the submissive is close to her limit. When the safe word red is spoken, the dominant's action will cease completely and immediately.
But he said it's caused a lot of issues because red and yellow are both fairly common phrases, red especially. Like he'll be like, hand me that red, you know, butt plug. And she's like, what's a butt plug? And he's like, the thing you plug in your butt.
Haven't you read the contract?
Yeah, have you read the contract yet? So it they keep thinking like, oh, now we have to stop our horny sex.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want doesn't want that confusion anymore. So he was hoping we could come up with some new
safe words
for him.
Okay.
Both for approaching the limits of pain and pleasure and
okay, so I
surpassing it.
Two things pop into my head. Can I start just spitballing here a little
Please.
Bit? Two things pop into my head. And I want you to just kind of tell me which of these two directions makes more sense. The first is
I'm already headed to the Esperanto translator, so I'm way ahead of you.
Okay. Okay, that's not quite where I was going. The first is, are these words supposed to be words that feel super safe? Like life jacket.
Oh, maybe. I think if we can manage to make it feel safe, it would be a bonus.
Okay, so that's question number one. And then question number two is, should it be a word that's like so outside of one's normal vocabulary that there can be no mistaking it? It's not something that you're likely to say in normal conversation.
I think that is
rutabaga.
Probably a good idea, but...
But that's not sex, and should it be sex?
I think it would probably... Yeah, I think it would probably distract from the like flogging, right?
Okay.
So I think what you want is, you want a word that would be uncommon in the act of lovemaking, but still a little sexy.
What about this? Can it be a few? Can it be a phrase?
Yeah, please.
What about this one? Stop flogging me.
Yeah, I think that can get a little confusing, though.
Yeah, no. I'm realizing that that might be something you might want to. You might want to say that.
You
might want to say that and not mean it. Yes. Okay, I got it. So I strike that from the record.
I'm going to pitch one to you.
Okay.
Something that feels safe, right?
Yeah.
There's no one I feel safer with than you, Jack.
Thank you. That's nice.
Something that is still pretty hot, but would be pretty out of the ordinary in this particular lovemaking scenario between Christian Grey and Anastasia Steele.
Yeah.
And something that won't distract them from the mood. In fact, something that would maybe make them even hornier.
Perfect.
Jack and Tanner. When it's the yellow light, you say Jack.
And then when it's the red light, you say Tanner. I think Jack is a word that sometimes comes up in sexual circumstances and not just when I'm involved.
Oh, yeah. He's like, jack me off. And she's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought you were kinky, but this outer course was already too much for you.
So that's my only complaint about that.
Maybe like Gundam?
Gundam.
It's like a big robot.
It's a kind of robot. It's like a big
combat robot.
What are some other... Are there longer... I think multisyllabic is good.
Oh, yeah.
So
are there other
Gundam robots that have a lot of syllables?
What's his name? Infinite Jest. David Foster Wallace, he did that whole essay about seven syllable words, right? Or was it like a poem?
I'm sure he did.
It's like a tone poem.
What about just David Foster Wallace?
That's pretty good.
What about Jonathan Franzen for when it's like you're nearing the edge?
Yeah.
And then David Foster Wallace when it's like this now needs to
stop. I think that's great.
Okay.
It's mouthy enough that you're not gonna say it accidentally, you know?
It's got a nice mouth feel, yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
I'll get back in touch with Christian Grey, our billionaire
client
and let him know that we've cracked it. And I'll maybe like in the appendix, I'll put Jack and Tanner too.
That's great. Okay. I'm going to put regular Jack back on.
Okay. I'll go get regular Tanner.
Okay.
Okay.
Regular Tanner.
Yeah.
Do you want to do our hit segment that's called On the One Hand?
Yes. Yeah, well, I can't imagine anyone except you had anything bad to say about this movie.
Yeah. Well, actually, I need Arbiter Tanner. Is Arbiter Tanner there?
I'll go get him.
Sorry.
He's in the other room with Horny Tanner.
What are they doing?
They just hang out. They're like buds.
Okay. I'll be right back. That's fine. Yeah.
They're playing Warcraft.
Okay.
I'm going to sit in for Arbiter Tanner.
Okay.
Okay, here I am.
What happened?
What?
This is Horny Tanner?
No, Arbiter Tanner. It's me.
Okay.
I'm here to blast dicks.
Okay. Regular Tanner and Horny Tanner and I have been talking about the hit movie 50 Shades of Grey, which is a sex movie.
Okay.
This is a segment where I find reviews on Rotten Tomatoes written by the regular folk. And
the folk who are worthy of judgment.
Yeah, who are worthy of judgment. And I've got some differing opinions on either side of the ledger of whether this is a good film.
Okay.
And I want to read them to you, and then you can say whether who's got the right of it.
I want to be very careful. Arbiter Tanner wants to be very careful to pass judgment in a way that makes it clear that he's not here to yuck yums. If you want to do the stuff that they're describing in this film, that's fine.
And if you like the movie, that's fine.
I will be passing judgment purely on the reviews.
Yes,
and the substance of the reviews.
So we've only got on the one hand, we've only got one review. On the other hand, I've got six very short reviews.
Okay, perfect.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
But this one is strong. On the one hand, is this a very strong
I'm passing
review.
Judgment on all these people?
No, you just have to decide which. So I think the six are all making the same point, which is that this movie sucks.
Okay.
And the one is making an opposite point, which is that this movie fucking rules.
Okay.
And you have to decide whether you're on the side of the one or on the side of the six.
Okay.
At the end of the segment.
Okay. I get it.
Okay. So on the one
hand, it's like my own little trolley problem.
Yeah, exactly. Anonymous, August 16th, 2018. And yes, it's the guy in the Guy Fawkes mask.
Yeah. Remember the, what was it, 26 yeah, of...
5th of November, Gunpowder, Treason, and Plot.
No, no, no. When, did, when
no
was the review?
Gunpowder,
when
was the review written? Be forgot. God, that's just stuck
when
in my
When was the
brain
review
my...
written?
I moved out of...
Yes, I know you've seen V for Vendetta like 8 times. You love Alan Moore. You love how much of like a weird libertarian he is.
Can None you... of those things are true. I moved out of England when I was 7 years old, but like I still, like my brain still remembers the Guy Fawkes rhyme.
Do they really celebrate that holiday every year?
That's what we say. Remember the 5th of November?
I know. I've seen V for Vendetta. I've read the comic
book. It's not from V for Vendetta. It's from my fucking childhood.
It is in V for Vendetta, though. Who? Jesus.
Forget it. I don't want to argue with you, Arbiter Tanner. Look, can I say the review? It's anonymous. It's 5 stars. It's August 16th, 2018.
Okay. Remember August 16th, 2018.
Yeah. And here's what Anonymous says about this movie in their glowing 5-star review of the film.
Okay.
Beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. Loved it so much. My boyfriend and I had sex throughout the entire trilogy. Not only a spectacular film, but it really gets you going, if you know what I mean. That's unassailable.
It's honest.
Yeah, it's honest. It's about the movie a little bit, but it's also about your experience.
It's about
of
the experience
the movie.
Of the movie. It's even better than being about the movie. It's about the experience of the movie. And also, like, I gotta say, I watched it at 8 a.m. on a Thursday, so I wasn't able to, like, do carnal. I wasn't able to have carnal relations while watching.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't disagree.
No, why not?
She's right.
What a great
like, that,
way to
this
watch
movie,
the movie
gets you fucking horny.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not for me. It wasn't right. That didn't happen for me for whatever reason.
Okay.
On the other hand.
That is such a... what a good review.
That was a great
She's not
review.
Even talking about the substance of the film. It's perfect. She's saying, like, I don't care if the movie was good
or
not.
Yeah.
Or he. Sorry. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
They're saying, I don't care if the movie is good or not. The movie made me horny enough to, like, fuck throughout it. And that's
and that was great.
All
and
I
it
needed.
Was awesome. Would watch again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got 6 reviews. We'll try to get through them fairly fast. They all have kind of slightly different points of view. They're all very short. But they're all half-star reviews, so these people fucking hated this movie.
And that's the minimum you can do?
Yeah, that's the absolute minimum you can do.
Okay.
Here's what William O's one-half-star review on February 20th, 2022 says. I went to see another movie where this one was playing, and I went in to see what all the fuss was about. I've done more erotic stuff in bed than that, and the leads are so boring.
Yeah.
And not that attractive.
Oh, that's... Well... I don't know. I thought they were both pretty attractive.
That's false. That's provably false.
Yeah.
They're both very attractive people.
Now I'm not here to yuck yums, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
But I'm not interested in what this guy's done.
Yeah.
And it's actually turned me off to his opinion a little bit.
Hey, William O, Anonymous fucked throughout this whole film. And your thing was not interesting. You were watching a different movie and you just like checked what was going on. And you think that's the basis for a half star review? I don't think so.
Yeah. And I also don't want to hear about how you make love.
Here's what Daniel S. says. Half a star, October 31st, 2020. And I'll just say now so I don't have to read it in a weird way. I think he's trying to, the word he wants to say is would, W-O-U-L-D.
Yeah.
That's a good Wordle word, isn't it? Wow. That would be interesting when that came up. The word he wants to say is would, but he spelled it W-A-D.
Wad.
Wad.
Okay.
But I'm going to say it the way I think he wants to be saying it.
What? Where would he be in the world where they pronounce wood as wad?
Wad.
I want to know that. Maine, maybe?
I don't know. But here's what he says. I would never want to see men fucking women.
Okay. Wow.
Half a star.
Not necessarily what I would have expected.
Yeah.
And also, like, why did you put this film on then?
Yeah, why did you watch this one?
I guess maybe he thought it was just going to be BDSM.
I thought this was going to be about the color gray. I would love to watch like a gradient of all the different colors of gray.
Just an hour and a half of a slow gradient.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Okay, here's what Warren B. says in his 1.5-star review on April 25th.
God, Warren B. was in the last review too. Is it like...
I think it's the same Warren B.
Is it like four people doing all these reviews?
Yeah, probably. There's a noise have we outside. Like,
yeah, what is that?
I have to go and investigate because Cyril is in charge, but he shouldn't be making that noise.
I don't know
I'll
what
right
sound
back.
That is.
Hey, bud, what's going on?
He had found the dustpan and brush and was banging it against the door in a way that
he expected me to.
No, he was just smashing it against the door. And then he was very surprised when I came out.
Yeah.
Like, I think he'd forgotten. It was like Lord of the Flies already. He'd forgotten that I even existed.
Yeah.
He was like, what the fuck? Who's this guy? Here's what Warren B. says. Our old friend Warren B., I'm realizing, because we've talked about him in previous episodes.
Yeah.
Warren B. says this film. 50 Shades of My Asshole. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Now that I kind of can get... Like, Warren B. out of the three so far, I mean, I don't want to do Arbiter Chandler's job, but, like, that's a reasonable response to this movie.
I don't really get what 50 Shades of My Asshole means. That feels lazy.
Yeah, that feels lazy. But what the fuck is wrong with you people is about right. Like, I'm not because of their kinky sex.
No, he's yucking yums. Get out of here with this. Next.
I just think they're...
You're making Arbiter Chandler's job so easy tonight.
I want to say that I'm not yucking yums. It's not what
no,
they
you're
do.
Not.
They,
Warren G is.
It's who they are. They're so bad,
and that's
both
so surprising because he sang so many songs about having sex back in the late '80s. I think.
Here's what Leo D says: half a star, January 28, 2020. Leo D says this: that's disgusting. And then in parentheses, all caps, vomiting. And then there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 23 emoji vomiting emojis.
Wow.
Yeah.
23.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It made her barf.
She just says, that's disgusting. Vomiting. And
vomiting.
Then she shows it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it? I'm ready to pass judgment.
This one better be good if it's gonna sway
me.
I got my ringer right at the end, so I want Patrick I to have the final word for these people. And I don't have a horse in this race.
But I
wanted to save the best for last. Here's what Patrick I says: half a star, October 5th, 2018. Too much pussy and tit, not enough dick.
That's what I was saying earlier in the episode.
yeah, exactly.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning, or whatever her name is like butt naked this entire movie.
Yeah.
And they never show Christian Grey's dick once.
You never see a single ding dong.
That's owing that. So, great. We've achieved equality, apparently.
Yeah. And now this is equality. And this
now
is
this
equality.
Is equality. Look at what we've done. Look at where we're at as a culture,
look
as a society.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. Who was that last guy's name?
Patrick.
Patrick, I get it. I agree, but I'm afraid I'm gonna have to blast your dick off because the people you've surrounded yourself with are too negative, and the things they say don't. What you said made sense.
Yeah.
What your buddy Warren G said didn't make any sense.
Made no sense at all.
And also, what Anonymous said.
Yeah.
But over in the good review section was very powerful.
Yeah. It was beautiful. They're in a loving relationship.
It's
with
generative.
Their boyfriend.
This film it creates. Yeah. Life, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Can you imagine having a baby 9 months later? What was the story of how you had me? We were watching fucking 50 Shades of Grey.
We watched
couldn't
the trilogy.
Stop porking.
We watched the trilogy. Okay. Okay. That's it. That's my segment. That's my hit segment on the one hand.
Great Thank segment. You, Tanner.
Before we go, let me just, I don't have any burns.
I have one burn. Should I do it real quick?
Yeah, sure.
At the beginning of the movie, Stacey's making a sandwich and she's talking to her friend about interviewing Christian Grey, and she asks her friends if she wants a sandwich, and her friend says no. And then when she finishes eating the sandwich, the roommate comes over and says,
"Okay, I wasn't hungry, but now I am."
And takes the sandwich and leaves.
Thank you. I love you.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was a good burn.
I like that. I like that roommate. Like, I would watch the movie that's about her roommate.
Yeah. And the brother.
Yeah, and the brother seems kind of cool. He sets up at the beginning of the movie where he's like, "Oh yeah, it's my brother. I wish he weren't." And I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a plot. Like, he's going to be like bailing his brother."
Yeah, we've
out
read
of
enough
trouble.
Romance books that we know what that means. But
and it's like, no, his brother
just
is just
turns
like
out his brother's cool,
a nice guy.
He's like a surfer bro.
Let me tell you before we go, I watched this movie to try to as a homework.
Yeah. Hey, so did you notice that?
Okay.
I have an IP freely real quick.
Perfect.
Did you notice that they stole our thing that you wrote for our segment from the old Babysitter's Club podcast?
Yeah, it was so fucking weird. The thing about like...
It was for the Alan Gray segment.
Hey, it's just behind this door. Yeah. And then she's like, "It's my Xbox."
Sounded
and stuff.
So familiar. And I was like, wait a second. Jack came up with
they
that.
They literally
for
took
our
it
Alan
from
Gray segment.
It's just beyond this door.
What is?
My playroom.
Like your Xbox and stuff?
It's important that you know you can leave at any time.
Why? What's in there?
I meant what I said. The helicopter's on standby to take you whenever you want to go.
Couldn't you just open the door?
I mean, it's like word for word. And then he's like, "Oh, my helicopter's outside."
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
I know. We should get Stephanie Meyer on the phone.
Yeah. I hated that.
I think we'd call her as Horny Channer and Horny Jack just because I think they have a lot more confidence than we do.
Yeah, those guys I would trust to lead a phone call like that and not us.
Yeah.
I did write down a few of Christian Grey's moves that I'd like to share with you.
Yeah.
And we can both use them if we want.
We'll try them.
Whenever we're trying to do a seduction.
Yeah, I'll try.
Because it's a famously sexy movie. He's a famously sexy man.
And we're famously sexual people.
Yeah. So I've got four moves of his that I'll just go through real fast.
Okay.
And these are like iconic. If you've seen the movie, you'll know
I saw
them.
It yesterday. And
yeah, I mean, I'm talking to the listeners, I guess. These are iconic 50 Shades of Grey, Christian Grey moves. Anyone can use this for seduction. We're not copywriting it or anything. I guess it's from the movie, but like, just so you know, these are the
moves. We're not copywriting. It is copyrighted.
We're not.
But we're not copywriting.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it. Move number one at the 28-minute mark. It's what I call the toast move.
Okay.
And this is where you say, as Christian Grey does,
"If you were mine, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week."
What?
And then you take a big bite of her toast.
Mm. So I guess you'd have to be at like a brunch place, right?
Yeah, you'd have to be at a brunch place. It only works if they're eating toast.
Yeah,
but it's very sexy. Okay. You reach over with
That's
your mouth.
That's good. I could see that
you
working
take a big
for
bite
me.
Of her toast.
Yeah.
Okay. The second move is what I call the anti-bureaucratic move.
Yeah.
This happens at the 31-minute mark, and this is when you turn to someone in an elevator and you say,
"Fuck the paperwork."
And then you kiss them in the elevator without even getting their written consent for the kiss on a long contract.
Yeah, I love that one. When I was watching the film yesterday, I had headphones in because Jamie was working. And I yelled, "Yes!" And she came out and said, "Oh, did they say the Alan Gray line?" And I said, "No, he just said, 'Fuck the paperwork.'"
Yeah.
And gave her a big kiss. And it was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
That's a hot move.
Yeah.
And that's when you kiss somebody in the elevator consensually, but without having a written contract about it.
Right. Yes.
It's very sexy. Okay. We've got two more very brief ones. This third move is called, I've called it going to the cleaners.
I think I've done that one before.
So what you do with the going to the cleaners sex move is you say, as Christian Grey does in this film,
"Let's get you cleaned up."
Yeah.
But you don't immediately say it. You say it after licking some of their fingers.
Yeah.
You lick some of their fingers and then you say, "Let's get you cleaned up."
Was this post-coital?
No, it's yes.
So he means like,
but it's but also pre-coital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, "Let's clean the sex off of you so that we can slather a little more on."
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very condescending, but it also needs to be accompanied by licking some but not all of their fingers.
I mean, I would have already been doing that. You don't need to say that. If I'm, attempting to seduce someone, you can just sort of take that as read.
Okay, and here's my final move of the night. Anyone can use this. It's a fun sex move. Everybody, whoever you're trying to woo, whether it's your crush or your lover or your partner or your spouse or whatever.
Mailman.
This is going to work. This move I call the very silly plane.
Okay.
And so in this move, you take them up into the sky in a very silly plane.
Oh, yeah. That was a silly plane. It sort of seemed like fun, though.
Yeah. And she loves it.
Oh, my God. That was incredible, Christian. Thank you.
Well, we aim to please, Miss Steele.
You said you didn't do romance.
It did seem like fun. It was like a plane that didn't have anything on it.
Yeah. It's just a very silly plane. And then she's like, Christian, I thought your whole thing was like that you don't know how to love, but like this was just like a fun romantic time.
Yeah. And he's like, no,
it's not.
I was just taking you for a ride in my silly plane.
I was taking you in my expensive, silly plane.
At one point, he like dive bombs it. And he's like, I was trying to scare the shit out of you.
Yeah.
What do you mean you had fun?
It's not nice. They're not nice. He's particularly not nice. And then at the end, she does the end of the movie for folks who haven't seen it is that she's like, they do some like BDSM throughout the film. That's like fairly light.
Just to introduce her to it.
I would think like realistically most anyone might do, you know,
sure.
Just a little bit of like,
just try
spanky.
It, you know?
Just to try it. And then at the end, she's like, do the bad one. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to hit you with a riding crop really hard. And then she's like, that sucked.
Yeah, she like leaves. She's like, I didn't like that. And then the movie's over. So not a romance.
And then he's like, okay, bye. And she's like, yep, bye. And then that is indeed the end of the film. And I don't care to watch the sequel, so I'll never know what happens next.
Yeah, I assume she goes back to her quiet life.
A more healthy relationship with a nicer man.
Yeah. And I hope he finds fulfillment too with someone who's
into it. I mean, like part of it is that he doesn't want to be loving either.
Yeah, which I get. Actually, I as I was watching this, I was like, there's a lot. I see a lot of Jack in this character.
Okay, yeah.
I remember when you first started dating Sarah, it was all about negotiations.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like, oh, we're going to stay at your house. You have to have a cat at your house, and we have to have a cat at my house.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And now we're happily married, and we've got three
combined
cats at both of our houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. I guess we should go.
Yeah.
We should leave. I have no idea what it's like an hour past Cyril's bedtime, and he's just like watching Cars
and it's
3.
Dead quiet from what I can hear. Which is concerning.
Yeah. No, it's worryingly quiet. Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go figure out what's going on with your son. Hopefully he's still fine. Can we watch The Lake House next week?
Yeah, we're going to watch The Lake House next week with Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves. I'm super psyched about it. I can't wait. It looks awesome. They're like... Sarah also recommended a movie that I pitched to you that maybe for another week where Mark Ruffalo falls in love with Reese Witherspoon's ghost, and that sounds good. But I think we're going to do Lake House next week. It's Keanu Reeves, time travel, Lake House.
Yeah,
Sandra
romance.
Bullock, love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, please subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Yep.
And we're talking about the TGIF movies, shows.
Shows on TV ABC, shows. Yes.
And it's fun. We're having a good time.
Yeah. They finally introduced Urkel on Family Matters, but just a little.
Yeah, they finally just teased him. They finally introduced Urkel. So now is the time to jump in.
Yeah, I'm no longer boycotting.
Tanner is no longer boycotting his own podcast. Urkel's there. We're having a blast. Rate and review our show. I recently accidentally read some of our reviews. I have stopped doing it because every time, even though we have a good deal of very nice reviews, every time I read the one like outlier bad review, I feel really bad and I hate myself and I go into a depression
like a spiral.
But I recently accidentally read some after a long hiatus, and they're all so nice, and it's so lovely. And thank you to everybody who has reviewed our show, and everybody who hasn't. Please
keep
do and say nice things. Yeah. Join our Facebook group, Baby Nation, on Facebook. All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a film. It was called 50 Shades of Grey.
I had a blast. I loved
it. Yeah, it was fun. It's fun. It was fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to be watching a film called The Lake House by Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
They directed it?
No, someone called Alejandro Agresti directed it. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander.
My name's Taryn Greenring.
And I hope that you find your spankingly ever after.
Good. We might be joining friends.